Welcome back to episode 296 of the Bad Taste Video Podcast. I'm Mike. I'm here with Grizz. We're going back to the genius of At Dawn They Sleep with Cryptic Plasm. But first, let's hit that intro. Cryptic Plasm, a.k.a. Crimson Plasma. we're going to say this wrong a million fucking times. I realize that I fucking love Brian Pollan movies. Like, I've been watching all these things, man, and I haven't watched one that I haven't liked. They're all, like, over the top with the special effects and the gore. The stories are always, like, really interesting to me, too. Like, he's really... like something else when it comes to low budget filmmaking. He's like the real deal, man.
Well, I appreciate the fact that in like 2015, he's still, you know, making movies like this and like, you know, the practical effects and stuff that he still, you know, is his go-to. I think it just really puts on display like what's still possible. And like, you know, it looks so much better than any fucking CGI bullshit.
Yeah.
You know, I see out there, man. You guys will see this level of gore in this movie is what sold me on it. Cause like, you know, when we talk about this at first, dude, I was like, oh man, Mike, what'd you sign me up for? This is something else. Right. But I mean, and there's a turning point in this movie where like, it's like all fucking hands on deck. We're going fucking hard. And it doesn't like let up until the very end. Yes. So it sold me like double fold on the back end of this movie, man. This thing fucking rules.
Yeah, it's really kind of like two separate films in one, right? It like really goes off the wall once we get to the exorcism part. Apparently, according to IMDb, this was a series of shorts on the web. And eventually, I guess they didn't do it or they didn't release it or whatever. And it turned into this fucking movie, but it says that it's an H.P. Lovecraft inspired piece. And I agree with that. And I didn't really realize that until like my second or third watch. I was like, it is very like Lovecraftian with like interdimensional beings and the crossing of worlds. And yeah. There's a lot.
I got that first time through for sure. That this is like a Lovecraft love letter for sure, man. Like it's, there's a lot of like, you know, even like the old gods and stuff like that, and like the creatures and stuff that, you know, are just it's fucking it to me. It's like that and like a love letter to like Clive Barker, because there's a lot of like, you know, that inspiration that I see in this as well, especially in like the effects.
Yeah, I mean, the effects are seriously fucking over the top in this. They are, when it comes to low budget horror, you're not going to beat, I feel like, the quality for like your like effect per dollar is 100% like Brian Pollan.
Yeah,
like he yeah. is.
Your bag fucking, for your buck is there with fucking.
Yeah,
Pollan
he is
sure.
the fucking man. And we keep saying At Dawn They Sleep, the legendary vampire film that we absolutely love, the movie that they've shown at VHS Fest. That is quite possibly one of our favorite vampire films that we've ever covered. Metal as fuck. Right. And this movie is like, if you put metal to this, I would say it is
better.
It Yeah, that is the one thing that I will say. It could use that metal soundtrack, but
and you know, last week you told me this was like an anthology, dude.
Yes,
and I started watching this, and like I didn't even remember you saying that until like halfway through, because I was like so confused on like why things were just like changing all of a sudden.
Yeah,
like what was going on, and I was like, oh, these are supposed to be like the fucking stories Mike was telling about, where it's like an anthology, but it's not really like set up like a traditional anthology where someone's telling an overall story that they branch off into. This is like stories within an actual, you know, concurrent plot line that's happening.
Yeah. So basically the plot to this is these two guys are going to investigate all these cryptids and hauntings, and there's an exorcism, all these different places, so they can make a documentary about it. They're going to make a TV show, apparently, really. And everything that they get sent to gets progressively more fucked up, right? And they just so happen to, I guess, wander into the crossing of two dimensions, and that leads to an absolutely wild outcome at the end. It's just a crazy story. Crazy.
I mean, almost like a Burning Moon type ending. Like,
oh, yeah. Yeah.
That level of just like, we're going to keep pouring it on. We're going to keep going more fucking intense. Like, we're not going to let up.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, honestly, like I said, if you were to like think that this was going to happen in this movie after watching the first 20 minutes, you'd be like, how is this going to fucking really pick up? Because, like you said, we have this story where they're, you know, set out to do these fucking, you know, little missions and stuff like that. But it's really like they're not that great. Like nothing's really happening.
See, I like
the first part of it.
I like that stuff. But you know, I like the setup in these low budget movies. I like the people going about their business. It reminds me of like a Polonia Brothers type setup and like Feeders or something like that. But you do get a taste of like what's to come at the end. Because the first thing you do get before like the title card that you saw is what you called the opening plasming or something. Opening plasm gore. So this film opens with like this weird sequence of like lights flashing and people just meeting like untimely deaths and like turning inside out and melting. It is quite the way to start a film.
A lot of goo in this movie.
Yeah, so like this person's fucking barbecue explodes and like they take a piece of metal to the neck. This other person's face is Fulci like melting. This dude is vomiting his esophagus up. This is quite the way to open this movie.
I mean, the esophagus scene is very darkness like, you know what I'm saying? Like, you the know, way it's shot movie, and the look of it.
This movie does have a little darkness to it, especially with like the theme that plays throughout. I want to say that I purchased this. This is the DVD. I didn't see any. There may be a VHS, like a low run VHS somewhere, but yeah, I have the DVD. I believe it's at a print. I had to get this from eBay. Morbid Vision Films. That's his gig there. They only have a couple things I think that are in stock there, but I have a feeling that I bought this from him maybe on eBay. I don't know. They had a lot of them. Yeah. Cause there's like the original Morbid Vision Films releases. And then there's like, I know that some of them are, what's it called? Unearth. Like,
oh yeah.
Yeah. So like some of them have two releases. Apparently this was actually made in 2012. Or something I read on the website. I don't know, didn't get released
until 2015.
Maybe that was the deal. Or maybe he put it out first in 2012 and then it got a little bit more distribution. I don't know, man. But this movie starts off really pretty fucking wild. But then you get introduced to Brian Pollan and this other dude who are going to go out and try to film these different cryptids, right? They're cryptid hunters. But I think they keep calling them cryptos, though. Right? Like they keep saying crypto, crypto hunters.
Which is pretty funny considering. But like, I do look that there's like this like sleazy, like producer character who's like you know,
behind the scenes,
basically selling them the dream, like, oh, it's, you know, you're gonna go out, you're gonna fucking, because like it all kind of starts with like our one character like actually gets a pretty good video of something unexplained, and he's like, oh, this is great, you know, we're gonna turn this into a whole fucking series. So like this guy thinks this is his big break, that like him and his cameraman buddy, who just also happens to be named Brian, the name of the fucking guy who's playing him, is like, this is like their big break. You know, they're going to get their chance to go out legitimately, you know, find cryptids / cryptos in their case. And, you know, they're going to fucking make a name for themselves. And I just like that there's like this skeevy character behind the scenes throughout this movie who will come into play later as well.
Yeah, he's like the fucking black hand, right? Like the one that's sitting there like calling the shots on all this shit. I do like how, like the plot twist that you just spoke about, how it kind of like turns on them in a way. Also, there's like a double twist, you know, like it's pretty Armatic, cool.
This is
pretty cool. So, the first story or the first, cryptid that they go after is some sort of like lake monster a river monster actually. And I believe they're in like the Boston area, right? Like the New England area. Is that where this is taking place? I think they show a highway, and I think you see like fucking Boston or something like that as one of the exits, I think. But this is probably the weakest of the little, I guess, what would you call it, inserts in the movie.
Yeah, I pulled it just to give an idea of like, this was the level of like spooky that I was getting for the first, like, you know, after that amazing opening scene. So like, you know, that can like add it to my confusion that I was like, wow, we had this amazing opening and now we're just getting a bunch of this stuff, which, I mean, if I didn't get that opening, I guess I wouldn't have felt so like robbed right away from it, but it pays me back in the end.
Yeah. You just get like a little bit of like a little monster shot, sort of like you can't really see it. I don't really understand, because at one point, like, the dude falls and his camera falls and the monster like straight up attacks it. Right. Doesn't it look like it actually like comes at him, and then they're just like, boom, in the sleazy dude's office. That kind of confused me a little bit. Maybe that's like the remnants of the,
short.
Like the web series that would have been like the end.
Yeah.
But, I do like how this dude keeps like progressively sending him to more fucked up and devious places. Because now they'll go to this, it's like a town where everybody's gone. And this is where the original, the plasming happened. I like that. The plasming, right? Yeah. That's where we're going at this point. And it's like abandoned. It's like Silent Hill type shit. Ryan Paulin did a great job with his editing and his scene selection to make it look like there is nobody home. There's nobody around, no cars, no noises. Great job, man. I think he did a fucking fantastic job with being able to just kind of, you know, frame the shot so you can't see anybody walking by or cars going by or waiting for things to happen, you know, whatever. But, I really do like it because it has almost like a supernatural feeling to it, right? It's almost like haunted, even though we find out later that it's interdimensional, but it almost feels like it's a haunted place.
Well, each one of these, these little stories does have their own vibe to it, because like one is like kind of Blair Witchy in a way where they're like, you know, just handheld camera walking through the woods looking for spooky shit and stuff. Part of these things kind of feel like that series VHS, where they're like those little shorts that are just like, you know, some of them are like over the top and stuff like that.
Alan Kentation,
so it does have like, what's that?
I said Alan Kentation, what's up?
Yeah, what's up, dude? But like, that's kind of like what, you know, some of these like things reminded me of in a way.
So this, the whole thing of me saying that it was, I was like setting up the clip. That's why I was looking at the screen to the right. So this is why I say it was almost like supernatural, is because like they're going into these now abandoned houses, and this dude like catches a glimpse of his fucking like evil version, like his bad
doppelganger.
Ash. Yeah. And it's like actually done really well. Like this would creep me the fuck out if it actually happened in real life.
His reaction is great too.
Yeah. So they're walking through this house with the pink walls. He turns around and he just sees literally himself like stand there for a second and then like walk into the hallway.
What do you see? Dave,
he immediately is like, let's go. We're out of here. Let's go. Come on. I love that, man. Like it's that would be such a mind fuck. And this is where like shit really starts to take a turn. Right? Like once he sees his alternate reality self, the movie starts getting more and more Lovecraftian, more and more like supernatural, otherworldly. And it really, this is actually, I guess, the point where it like starts ramping up is here.
Yeah. This is definitely where like my interest started peaking a little bit. Like, cause that, like, that's creepy as fuck in itself. Like, imagine like really seeing like an alternative you that's like possessed looking and shit, like in a house that you've never been in. Like, you would be creeped the fuck out. Like, his reaction, like, he looks so stunned at that first shot when like they pan to him and stuff, that it's like so believable that this dude is like shocked. Like, yeah, he's in a state of just like,
he can't believe,
holy fuck, man.
Dude, yeah. it's like you're holding this video camera and you literally see yourself in the hallway and it just like walks away. Now here's the thing, man, would you get the fuck out or would you go see what the hell, like, would you go
I'd get the
it?
Fuck out, dude.
Would you go
I
kill
mean,
it?
Non-possessed me is worth, like, it's you horrible. I would hate to fucking deal with a possessed me.
You wouldn't go, like, try to attack it, like, only one of us can be here? Which we learn is the case.
I was going to say, that is very relevant.
Awesome, which is an awesome, like, small little plot tidbit that they add later on. That only one of us can possess this space and time. We're going to be ripped apart because of this.
So that like brings to question, like, how did these two kind of like occupy that same space for a moment?
See, now I think this is why things started to get more and more fucked up, is because like they met each other and like maybe because like they immediately that's why the dude like walked away, because he knew that he would also be destroyed if they stayed together. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because
like,
they don't really
maybe like also like opened up like
portal
that other universe, like the galaxies or whatever, like they're that fucking alternative universes that like we come to like, you know, have an interdimensional play and stuff like that later.
Well, he like so gets
it
like
might have unlocked that as well.
Well, he like gets like zapped when like they're in the fucking like town. He kind of like collapses for a second. He gets like this weird fucking thing. So maybe he was the key to opening this portal completely. The plasming was only the beginning, and this guy was like the conduit.
That's gotta be like the fucking subtitle to like the second movie, like Cryptic Plasm 2, The Plasming or some shit. It's just like, it's so fitting.
Yeah. So we're gonna actually see the doppelganger more later on in the film. He is not gone forever. He will return in a more fucked up form, which is awesome.
Amazing.
Yeah, he looks fucking awesome. So the next thing that they end up going to is a exorcism of a girl, and they said it's not a Catholic exorcism. They don't really say what it is at all, right? So like they don't say if it's really good or bad, right?
Yeah, it seems very like
almost intentional.
Like, yeah, man, it seems like a lot of dark magic or something going on throughout this. I gotta tell you, I would fucking love an entire movie about this. The way everything in this fucking setup and everything looks, man. The way
creepy,
this possessed girl looks,
shit, dude, brutal.
Oh, man, give me a fucking 60-minute runner of like something based around this chick and why she's this way and like what happens overall. I'd watch that all day.
Like, I like the whole setup for this too, because they're both like starting to get a little bit more nervous about things, getting a little bit more like hesitant about the next assignment. He's like, we don't really deal with this shit. Like, we do like cryptid stuff. Like, and the guy's like, no. Like, just go. And like, they go and they realize like, this is real. Like, this is some real ass shit.
So like, what is that thing where it's like, you know, when you start looking at things, things can start looking back at you.
Oh, like when you like look, stare into the abyss. Sometimes the abyss.
Yeah, well, it's just like when you actually start looking into like certain things that like you think are like not real and stuff, you find out the hard way that like those things are legitimately
the things
real.
Things that move in the shadows, when you start looking for them, they appear to you. Nice. Yeah,
exactly.
That's some fucking wild shit. But yeah, like we first see this possessed girl and she looks fucked up. She's all covered in sores. She's like yellow looking, like jaundice almost. Blood coming out of her nose, all over her mouth and stuff. Her shirt is stained in blood. This dude's got like a.
This is the exorcist man here doing his magic.
He looks like he's trying to bring something forth, man. Right? He's trying
to bring
something
out. Yeah, like
it
doesn't seem like on the up and up, dude, for sure.
Because, yeah, like he really, he's got this like hood on and stuff. It's like pretty dark looking. It doesn't look like something that would be, you know, very good or positive.
Beneficial.
Yeah. Especially the music that's playing too, right?
Almost
darkness like, right? Like that fucking choir sound. I like it. But like they're both.
That's nothing compared to like the next fucking.
Oh my god, the next clip is fucking wild.
The outcome of what happens here.
But I love like their reactions to all this stuff because they kind of both like start looking at each other like. This is kind of fucked up. Like what are we doing here? Yeah, this is not for us. But eventually this possessed girl starts sprouting tentacles, basically, right? And they start like not only melting the priest, but like just penetrating his body like incredibly violently. What a scene. What a fucking scene.
Yeah,
this
kind of head ties, right? Like a little bit of fucking.
Dude, this is this is probably one of the best scenes in the whole movie, right?
In the whole, yeah, for sure.
So like this is lit really like scary too. It's only the light of their fucking camera. There's blood pouring out of fucking everywhere. The priest is like melting almost. You see like his skull and skin. She's making all these otherworldly noises.
Yeah, like the sound effects of all those scenes and like the lighting and of everything.
Yeah, like these
that much better.
These tentacles are like basically like absorbing him and taking him in and penetrating him.
To him. Yeah.
Dude, how uncomfortable does that make you feel watching that?
Dude, I love that shit. That is so fucking good. Like, I want to see, like, a whole buildup of, like, you know, her possession. Like, maybe there's a story where, you know, they're trying this method because, like, traditional, like, Catholic exorcism didn't work. And they, like, brought in this fucking other... You know, magician of some type to fucking try to do the job. And they're just like looking for alternative ways to fucking get this girl an exorcism and shit. There could be something cool there, man. But if it looked anything like this, I'd be into it.
I would like to think that he's like in the Cult of Cthulhu or something like that. And he's trying to bring monster out of her. Like I would prefer that. I want to know what happened after, right? Like what was the outcome? Because they freak out and run.
There's no follow up.
Yeah, they freak out and run. They're like, yo, people are going to be looking for us. Like, that was like a double murder in there. It's like two like dead bodies.
I did like that scene where they're like, oh, we're going to be wanted, dude. Fuck.
Yeah. But like, imagine being in that place, being sent there for work. Like, you kind of think it's bullshit, maybe. And then all of a sudden, like, Evil Dead happens in front of you. Like... This whole movie it just gets this is it. This isn't even the craziest. It's probably
no,
the best.
No,
to me
really
this
not.
Is like one of the best scenes, but it's not even the craziest when it comes to like blood, guts and all that sort of shit. Cuz we start seeing like the other worlds start colliding with ours more, and with that comes more goo, more guts and more gore. Right? Like buckets of shit. So they finally realize that they can't take it anymore. They can't do this. And Brian Pollan's character, the cameraman, he cracks. He calls the producer. He's like, I can't do it, man. This is fucked up, blah, blah, blah. And this is where we get our first plot twist, right? This is some fucking devious shit. These guys are basically going to set these other guys up to get murdered horrifically so they can make a documentary / series out of it. This is like something that like a podcast would do now, right? Like, so
it's such a good fucking storyline for this.
Did
movie,
they make
though.
This a
this
show?
This is what sold me on it.
Yeah, this was it, man. You like the plot twist?
Yeah, honestly, like this is what we. Like, I was like, oh, this like actually fucking pulls everything together in a really cool way that it really did need something like this to like sell the fucking story, dude. For
yeah,
sure.
that's true. Here, so this dude looks like he's like a wrestler from like the early 2000s or maybe in a hardcore band from the 90s. Then go to David's home. Same with this guy. I have the hog calling me right now.
I bet you do.
So he's calling his like hitman basically saying, you know, we need these people to be fucked up. We need these people to be like fucked up beyond belief, because the more fucked up they are, the better it's going to look, right? And they're gonna
make a documentary about, and everyone's gonna want to see what the fuck happened, you know,
to these two filmmakers.
Guys. Who
yeah,
pay to fucking see that, man. Yeah, I get it.
See, he should have just kept his mouth fucking shut.
Sensationalism.
He's from the Hog. Yo, call me. Gonna blow your mind. It's like, oh my god, man. I don't even want to know.
Goodness gracious.
I'll let you guys know what it was next week. So.
Imagine.
Yeah, so because Brian Pollan wanted to go to the police about the murders or the exorcism gone wrong, whatever you want to call it, these guys are like, going to bring too much fucking attention to us. We got to be out. And they set them up for this final showdown that actually just turns into a huge clusterfuck. Like, how could you pick, like, literally the worst possible place to, like, set these guys up at? Right? Like, the... like ground zero of an interdimensional beings crossover of all the places, right?
Like, I mean, I'm glad they did, because this leads to some of the absolute fucking most over the top scenes of this entire movie. Like, yes. I feel like from this point on, it just goes like fucking haywire, man.
Yeah, because like the first thing that you get that is pretty fucking wild is. You get some like worm thing that emerges from like, I think it's actually like a tree monster. I think it's like a plant. It looks like a,
that's this
like
one's
a,
supposed to be like, I didn't know if this was like the same monster from like the ending that we see, or if this is a different one.
I think this is a different one. I think it's like a mutated tree. But this dude is like running.
I guess this motherfucker though. I'll tell you that.
Oh my god. Our host is running through the woods, and we see like an unknown assailant in the background, because we're also fed this little line that like, I believe that the inhabitants of this town are bouncing back and forth in between dimensions, and we see that is true later on in the film. But before we get to our like huge climax of craziness, this dude's running through the woods. Unknown assailant shows up. And guess what? The tree sprouts this huge little Shop of Horrors-esque Audrey fucking plant down. And it sucks this guy up and basically just like melts him. Right? Just fucking melts him. It is
I love
wild.
This, dude. I love the way this guy like legitimately looks like he's being digested, like, and just gooing all over the fucking place. This is like the start of like the real gooiness of this fucking movie, really.
Yeah, yeah. This is where the goo factor goes to 100. So, oh, it was Brian Pollan in there. Yeah, so this dude gets snatched up by the tree, sucks him up, and the not only do you see him like get brought up into the tree line, which is an awesome effect, you just see the thing start like pussing and bubbling and all sorts of disgusting gooey shit coming out as this guy's being digested.
Looks so good.
Yeah, you see his like face and stuff, his skull breaking apart.
That's fucking great. Oh,
man, what a fucking movie. And this isn't even the craziest part of it, because eventually we get the final, I guess, setting for this film in this house of horrors, and we
say the least,
dude, we see the evil doppelganger again finally, and he looks fucking straight out of hell, right? And what happens? But the friend starts tearing himself out of this other fucking doppelganger guy.
What a wild.
So he like idea. So he was like, the friend was absorbed, I guess, and he's like trying to escape this evil being's essence now, right?
Oh my god,
dude. What a fucking awesome effect. I can't, man. Let me pull this one up. Yeah, so the evil version starts puking up blood, and you see an arm and hand start ripping out of his stomach and chest. It looks very human-like. And then the friend's face starts coming through. It's like Nightmare on Elm Street when they're like trying to rip through his body, only way more fucking graphic.
That scene right there that is so awesome. Amazing.
That is awesome. When like you see
the wide shot of it is so good, dude.
You see the full thing of like him like trying to come out of the body, and the evil version like laying there like writhing in pain and agony with blood shooting everywhere. Whew. Brendan Timmons, Poland's practical effects and monsters are next level. I agree, 100%. You really don't see the quality of this in many films. Of this budget, even really like higher budget ones, he really has a talent for this stuff.
Well, like it's even unbelievable, like low budget stuff of like this era, they like rely heavy on fucking CGI and like bad CGI at that. So like it's so great to see something so just traditionally done well. Like this is exactly what, like this is what horror movies are based off of, man. Like this has been, you know, the way they've done it since people started falling in love with these movies so long ago. So it's like, why change something that just works so fucking well?
And it's like
no amount of CGI will make that look the way that scene looked.
And it's
0%
like
chance.
Giant monsters too, like not just small shit. Yeah, like
the scale
huge,
is amazing.
Yeah, huge set pieces, all just fucking moving and like undulating and all sorts of shit. Like unbelievable. But like this whole scene with like the evil version gets even crazier because it starts like fighting back against the good version, and it literally rips him apart and out of himself to the point where he like destroys his own body. But this is fucking awesome too.
One of the scenes of the movie.
So he starts ripping out at like his guts and everything. He actually rips the dude's head apart too. I think that's slightly before this. He like rips the dude's head in half, but now his body's like melting, and it just
wide shot.
Oh man! Look at all the fucking the goo out, just shit spraying. Oh my god. Great. Was he like hanging goo down there too? Like
I think he had to have been.
Looks like he was shooting goo. Yeah. That looked like some toxic goo coming out of there, man. Damn. but I really do like the effects, how everything looks like it's like, you know, part of the costume or whatever. You know what I mean? Like it doesn't look like he's just wearing a shirt. And like only his hands are done. It looks like he's wearing a full fucking bodysuit with like effects running through it and stuff.
The whole thing. A+. Nothing is overlooked, man.
Yeah.
It really is amazing how well done it is.
I really think people have to go out and buy this fucking movie. Go find it somehow. I wish he had more shit for sale. I wish people could fucking support this dude more. Right? Like he needs a re-release of this motherfucker for sure.
I mean, just that scene of the dude getting pulled into the tree. When I first saw that, I was like, God damn, dude. Like, that's not an easy scene to make look good. And it looks fucking stunning. Like, it is amazing how well done big effects like that are done in this movie. Like you were saying, like, that's not an easy thing to accomplish. And like to practically do that on that scale is fucking outstanding. Well, man. He does such a good job.
There's a scene where like the dude gets like hit in the face with the table. And it's like such a subtle thing because his fucking chin gets split before his face starts fucking ultimately like melting in an awesome way. But like, look, we actually have it here. Like it looks fucking like, look how this looks.
So the
table gets flipped up and it fucking splits his chin, and it legit looks like this is actually one of the fucking dudes that are connected to the thing. So it turns on them, obviously, but
it looks
legit like a cut you would get from like blunt force trauma, right? Like a split, just perfect. And also this goo scene is fucking great. There's something about like the way he shakes the camera. You know what I mean?
Just that adds
like,
to it. Yeah.
Yeah, like it just fucking adds to it. But eventually our man Brian, my boy, the masker, he finds out two people can't occupy this same place, so we gotta go.
Oh. So mind you, he finds this out while his body is stuck interdimensionally and winds up basically stuck in a wall, but like all fucking discombobulated, like an arm in weird places and shit, his body sticking out of a different place. What an amazing idea. Something it's done so probably easily, the effect itself, but creates such like a fucking like inner terror when watching this. Like, what the fuck would you do if you were frozen in this position and you have the worst possible fucking things happening to you?
I would be fucking terrified, because the evil version of himself too looks awesome, and the voice that they use is fucking awesome, right?
And like, it comes out of this fucking wormhole thing in the side of the wall.
Like an organic looking hole. Legitimately
was built. Like, it looks fucking, you could get into that motherfucker, dude. It's awesome.
Let me this. I'm playing this shit. Are you kidding me? Yeah, so like everybody is fucked at this point. There's goo everywhere. The building is shaking. Brian Pollan is now getting fucking ripped apart by these tentacles and the wall closing finally. Just decapitating, well, not decapitating, but severing his body parts. There's this giant monster emerging from this fucking wall. Man. The house collapses, so you don't really get like a final outcome until the end, because you do find out this thing is loose. And as we saw, it's killing everybody now. Everybody connected to this thing. But this movie has a downer ending. Everybody dies. Everybody gets fucked up. Everybody gets melted. Everybody gets ripped apart. This is A+. Brian Pollan, Bad Taste Video, fucking wild shit. What genre, and not besides splatter or gore or whatever, genre of horror film would this be?
I would probably say supernatural.
Supernatural horror? Like, yeah. I know, I mean, like, I obviously, like, Lovecraftian or whatever, but, like, supernatural horror, it, like, borderlines, like, a ghost story, right?
What I'm
like
saying, there's some paranormal stuff in it. That's why I'm thinking just, like, you know, there's some science fiction aspects to it. But, man, I mean, I guess it'd be the best terminology for it.
Yeah, this movie literally... it has everything you could possibly want in a low budget horror film, especially something from the early, you know, 2010s or whatnot.
Yeah, I'm always skeptical of these, man. Always.
Yeah. There's a lot of shitty ones, but dude, his whole fucking filmography is great. He's really like, I guess, you know, how like there's just like some bands just all the music they put out, you're just like really into it. Dude. Like it just like does it for you. It seems like all the movies he puts out are just super entertaining to me. Like I just like it. All the ones I've watched so far, they've all been crazy. He's been in like most of them that I've seen so far, so that makes it even better.
I mean, this is definitely not as good as At Dawn They Sleep, but it's still like it's fucking a
different,
incredible.
It's a different movie. It's 100%. Definitely a different movie. This definitely is more like atmospheric and shit like that. While At Dawn They Sleep is like a borderline action film at times. Well, it is an action film at times. Yeah. But I really think people would love this because it does go off the rails with the effects. It goes off the rails with the gore, the goo, the blood. It's really like just something else. I really wish it was like streaming somewhere so you could go buy it like from him. But if you look hard enough, you can, you know, we're not going to say it's, you know, it's out there. Go buy it from him if you can. Hit him up somewhere. Go find his email address. I think it's like, I think he's on Instagram. Be like, yo, dude, I need a copy of fucking Crimson Plasma.
Right? The 70s rock band album?
Yeah. I really do give this a fucking A+, though. I love this one. Like I said, I liked it enough where I bought the DVD. Sorry, not a Blu-ray. It is absolutely fucking awesome. And I definitely think everybody who listens to this will probably enjoy it. I think
this was a great recommendation from your end, dude. This was awesome. I had such a good time watching this one.
Yeah, this was an original like blind watch. I was like, wonder what this is. I was like, well, guess I'm gonna go buy it now because it was fucking that awesome. I love that. I love when you watch something and it's so good that you go and buy it. You know what I mean? Like it's like I want this forever. So Grizz. Next week at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on our YouTube page, youtube.com/@badtastevideopodcast, we're going to be covering something I've never seen. We're doing a bunch of firsts, man. I really like this. I like that this is like back to the old ways of doing it, like watching movies we've never seen before, getting our fucking reactions. Obviously, we vet them slightly. We take recommendations from people, our friends, things. We look at reviews. We skim through shit first. But Grizz, we will be covering the 1988. This is shot on video, right?
Correct.
Straight to video, The Hackers. You may have heard of it. You may have seen a handful of legit copies out of there. You've probably seen a lot more bootlegs than you've thought.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of bootlegs of this one. That's for sure. But
I'm excited. I've been told that this is a great movie. I've been told that it's actually worth, you know, sometimes you buy a high dollar tape. Sometimes you buy a high dollar tape and it sucks. Sometimes you buy a high dollar tape and it's awesome. I heard this is an awesome one. So I am excited to watch this. This is going to be another first for us. So I'm pumped, man. I hope it's as good as fucking Cryptic Plasm, which is, I'm going to have fun saying that for the rest of my life. Cryptic
Plasm. It'll be hard to top that gore, but we'll definitely have fun with it at least.
Yeah, I don't know how we're gonna top that. I don't think we're gonna come close for a while. I don't know. I don't know. Don't say that. I got a few things that we probably could eventually
there
do.
There we go. That's
that'll
the spirit.
Beat it out. Yeah. So Grizz, now I believe it's time we're gonna head over to the wide world of metal. And this week we have a band like how Cryptic Plasm rocked my world. This band rocked yours, right?
Yeah, dude. I fell in love with this band immediately. The band is Posthumous Regurgitation from Portland, Oregon. I have always been a huge fan of like pathology metal. You know, bands like County Medical Examiners and stuff. I mean, obviously Carcass has always kind of fallen into that. But it's like these bands that kind of like focus in and like, you know, are very specific to like medical terminology and shit like that. It's just really cool. And like the words that they use, obviously like the band's name is fucking awesome.
Yeah.
Posthumous Regurgitation sounds so good. But this is like their first full length album that they've put out. They've been around since 2017. The album is called The Coroner's Guide to Cadaveric Cuisine. amazing name. And it's basically a lot of songs about different ways to prepare, you know, human flesh inside of the coroner's office, which is, you know, probably a handy tool. you're in that situation.
Yeah, because Grizz sent this to me. He's like, dude, this is the album this week. This is the album. Dude, you gotta listen to it. I've never seen him so excited, like, to send me something. He's like, dude, this is like one of my new favorites. Like, this is great.
And, like, no, legitimately, this is probably like my favorite band of the moment. It's gonna be that way for a while. Like, I'm a huge gore grind guy, and like, this is like gore grind done in like the best possible way, because there's like elements of like all other kinds of metal, from like doom to like really good death metal. But then the vocalist comes in and just fucking rules so hard.
Yeah.
There's just like these amazing delivery styles, from just guttural lows.
Yeah, so to, well. To
creepy, like, pukey fucking highs that are just like, it's so fitting, man. As soon as I heard this album, I was like, this is it for me. I'm done. I'm in. This is all I need. This is it.
Where do you want to start, man? What do you want me to play first here?
Let's start with the intro song. The hell is the name of it now? I gotta pull up my fucking file. I don't even fucking see the name of anything. Just play just play one of them and I'll get the name of it.
All right, here we go. First clip. Let me make this a little louder here. These fucking. I love this shit, dude. Like, these types of riffs, like, with the fucking groove.
Koopa beat, dude. This is the fucking shit.
This is it. This is it. This is what I hear when I wake up in the morning. When I'm brushing my teeth.
Every time. And that's the coroner's guide to fucking. That's the actual self-titled, coroner's guide to cadaveric cuisine. Let's play Surgeon's Remorse. This is the one that I was thinking of before. This is how the album actually starts up.
I always love the halftime bell on the ride.
I love that shit.
The artwork is awesome. Part here. I love that. Man, I gotta move so they can see the artwork here.
Dude, look at this funny.
Almost artwork rules. Almost Herbert West-ish. Could see a little bit, maybe if he had the glasses on.
I thought that too a little bit. But like, this band will like go back and forth between like really fast paced, like traditional gore grind parts to like doomy parts like that. And then there's like these awesome, like kind of just like death metal-y, thrashy, fucking just like great kind of hooky riff parts that I'm just like, damn, this has got everything that I fucking this love, man.
Shit.
And the song Tomophobia, I'm pretty sure Tomophobia. Yeah. One of
the, that sounds good. Might be
the but this has like just probably one of my favorite parts of the entire album on it.
These fucking vocals is so good.
I'm about it, dude. The guitar.
Die bomb.
Amazing.
This is awesome.
And he goes into like the guttural, dude. Yeah, dude. This is so fucking great.
What like range. That's fucking really, really good. I love this shit, dude. I added this to my fucking iTunes.
If you're a fan of like, you know, pathological metal or, you know, pathology metal, I don't know the correct term for it, I guess. But you'll definitely know the band Malignancy, and the guitar player for Malignancy is the guitar player in this band as well. It's probably why it's done so fucking good, man. And like, that dude's a fucking ripper, as you just heard. That awesome dive bomb followed up with a fucking awesome little solo action in between that, just vocals that, like you just said, are just, it's so hard to have like that kind of range going back and forth. And like that high end shit, it's like so original, dude. Like, I've never really heard.
Like it's a real like unique, like I would say, like a Danny Filth type.
Oh my, it's like a gore grind Danny Filth delivery, dude. That's so funny because it is kind of like that. That like it's creepy in a way, but like
it sounds
gooier
like
than like Danny's is.
It sounds like an evil elf singing, but like this dude sounds like an evil elf that lives in
bronchitis.
That lives in like a mud hut that lives like in Dagobah or something.
It's so fucking the delivery of the vocals in a lot of these parts really just enhances the music so much. And it's a full band, which, you know, I'm stoked on. I like when I see
love that
now, you know, it's like, it's cool to see a bunch of guys that can actually put it together and
of course,
you know, fucking make awesome shit like this still.
Of course. I love this. I never heard of them before you sent them to me. I added them to my iTunes. I thought they were fucking great. Sorry, I'm fucking burping here. I'm drinking water. I don't even drink alcohol on here anymore.
Water.
What the fuck is wrong with us? But I love this shit, dude. They're available on YouTube. It's available on iTunes. It's on Spotify, probably everywhere. Yeah. I would really like to see them live. I'm actually going to look up some live videos. I bet they're on, probably, right? They got some live videos
floating around there, dude. But yeah, I know that they wear the full like surgical outfits and shit live.
Oh, nice.
It's their full, which a lot of the fucking bands that are into this kind of stuff do, which I am not mad about.
No, it's fun, man.
I fully fucking support the gimmick, dude. I love that shit.
You're a Guttalax guy, right? Don't they wear the things?
They come out in their little like toxic fucking suits with the plungers and shit.
Yeah. See, there's nothing wrong with that.
Pulmonary Fibrosis used to do that shit too, man. So many good old gore grind, toilet grind bands we used to call them. Did that gimmick.
You know what's funny to me? Like whatever, like this, you know, the subgenre of grind this is, it like seems like a little less goofy than like the other ones too. Has like a tiny hint of seriousness to it as opposed to like singing about like
does for sure.
Right.
You know,
like it's just got that, like, I don't know. There's that other band.
This is like if Carcass was still good, they would make shit like this, you know,
so it's like 20, what they fucking 25 do. Years ago. Like if it was, more than that now. Shit, man.
Yeah.
Like
that's still
30 years ago. 4 years ago, something like that. I don't know. I really dug this. I'm thankful that you found them, man. What a fucking great what a pleasant surprise. But Grizz, I think that wraps up the wide world of metal here. We're coming up to fucking episode 300.
Oh, we got to figure something out, dude.
I want the hog on. We're going to get the hog on. I'm going to get him on. We got to pick a good movie, though. We got to pick something really good. We're also coming up to WrestleMania, bro. You going to watch?
Yeah, I'm going to watch, dude. Cody got to get the fucking belt this year, dude.
Both nights? You'll be watching both nights?
Yeah, and they're doing the tag match, right? The first night?
Yeah, night's going to be The Rock, like, actually wrestling, and then the second night's
going to
be
Cody. They lose the first night, Cody wins the belt the fucking second night.
That's probably what's going to happen, because they're going to want an excuse for The Rock to come out on Sunday, where if Cody and Seth win on Saturday, then The Rock is banned from the ring.
Discussion.
Yeah. I mean, also, they could also win, and he could be like, I'm your boss. Like, I'm on the board. I could do whatever I want. Like, could do one of those things. I don't know.
AEW can't fucking fill arena to save their lives.
I have fallen off of AEW so hard, dude. Like, and I've fallen off even WWE a little bit recently.
A lot of dark arenas.
I feel like a lot of people are getting hurt. And on both shows, like WWE, a ton of people are hurt, like AEW, a ton of people are hurt. I don't know what the fuck it is, but I feel like that kind of fucks the flow of things.
Yeah, at least you're going to get a decent story on fucking WWE, man. There's you don't got to be a fucking, you know, Japanese wrestling mark to know what the fuck's going on at fucking AEW.
Well, with WWE, it's just the same story for fucking 3 years straight. So,
Let's go with it. Let's see Cody take the fucking bell, baby. It's time.
You Mark. Come on, man. You love
it. Can you imagine? I mean, can you really imagine? And do you think like there's a chance Cody doesn't take the bell?
I will say there is like a 1% chance that they
riot in the streets if they fucking do.
If you wanted a huge reaction, you have to lose.
Yeah, 100%.
If you want like a real reaction, you have like John Cena come out and turn heel and like kick Cody. And like, then people would be like, oh, fuck. Like, people
and that's why he fucking loses. Oh my God.
Then like they'll forgive the loss, you know, like that people won't go nuts. But you know what? That's not up to us to decide. That's up for the powers that be. But up until then, we'll be back here on Tuesday night, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on our YouTube page, youtube.com/@BadTasteVideoPodcast. Grizz, where can they find you on the internet?
You can find me on Instagram @Kane_Enabler.
And you can find me @BadTasteVideo. And you can find everything we do at www.badtastevideo.com. All the shit that we do is linked there. Thank you, Alan Cantation, for helping us out with that website. Again, you have been the man with that. But we would really appreciate it if you subscribe to our YouTube page where we record the podcast live. You can listen to the podcast via any podcast app or wherever the fuck, you know, you want. I really don't. We want you to come watch this shit. We want you to see the goo. We want you to see the fucking stuff that we're risking the channel for. I have no idea how we haven't gotten any more fucking problems. I don't know, dude. I don't know. But we still thank you for listening at home. Yeah, we get it. Some people just don't want to see our stupid faces, but that's all right. But we will see you next week with the hackers, hopefully. It's fucking great. If it's not, we'll still have a good time because we're counting down the days to episode 300. Grizz, anything else you want to mention?
No, I think I'm all set. Thanks.
All right. All right. That's it. We'll call it a night. We will see you next time.